podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
But that was a championship that'll live forever in my memory. But we went on. We probably should have went on and won the playoffs that season. Wasn't to be. Theo moved on. You know, it was a bit of a topsy-turvy time after that for a couple of years. You got a lot more involved behind the scenes. And is that around the time you took the GM's post?
Yeah, so the next season, Ed became a player coach, right? Or no, just a coach. He wasn't playing. He was just coaching. And then about Christmas, we were struggling, and he came back to play. So I got the job that next year. I got the GM job in October, but it was like, it was basically, I said, like, listen, man, I gotta finish my season. And Albert Maslin and Jim Gillespie had spoken to me in October, and John Elliott was stepping back. So I said, like, I want to finish the year. I want to play. This is my 10th year. I'd love to get a testimonial, kind of round off my playing career. And one of the things I did was I got Ed to play again. Like, it was probably halfway through the season. I was like, Ed, you're our best player. You're coaching us. You could just be playing. Had Ed played the whole year that year, we would have won the league that year. But he wanted to be a coach, right? And so he had started the season just not coaching or not playing, and had he been playing the whole year, we would have won the league for sure. Hell of a hockey player, Ed Courtney. And then he came back again the next year, and that was my first year in actual control from the start, and it was tough. If you remember that year, so that was my first actual year as GM, and that was 2007-2008, and we occupied every single place in the league. I think there were 10 teams. So we spent at least a week in every single place, 10th place, 9th place. And I mean, not the first week of the season in 10th place, like eight weeks in, we were in last place and we got to first place. We beat Coventry when we were sold out probably in like February. And then I think Coventry ended up winning the league that year, or Sheffield. But that was baptism of fire for sure. That was the biggest learning curve of, you know, because you have ideas of what you should do. And, you know, I played games in Dundalk that year because the Odyssey was so unavailable for dates. You don't really quite understand how damaging that might have been to a lot of the fan base. Being told that I had to tell Ed Courtney that he had to take basically like almost like a 50% pay cut. And I remember saying, how is that possible? Like the guy that I, like, cause I was really good buddies with Ed Courtney when he coached me. He kind of left me to run the defense back then. And then when I became the GM, I went from being like, really like one of probably his closest friend on the team to being told that for like, basically you've got to call Ed and basically cut his wages in half cause we can't afford it. And I had that conversation with Ed and I was like, man, this is, and I think Ed thought that was just my decision from the very start. And it wasn't. It was coming from ownership. And you know, one thing I probably didn't do, I probably didn't fight hard enough to just say, listen, you can't do that to a guy, because that's my whole relationship with my coach out the window. We had a terrible relationship my first year as a GM. He hated me. I could go in the office and be like, hey, Ed, how was practice today? And literally, I'd hear him on the phone to his wife 20 minutes later going, Jesus, Todd's all over me. And I'd be like, all over him? I was making conversation, you know? And then you just realize, like, he didn't respect me as a GM because I played for him, and it was you know, we signed some guys because he got his 50% wage cut. He basically didn't really care that much about recruiting. He probably spent the whole year looking for another job, and it really damaged us. It's one of my biggest regrets because I really liked Ed, and you know, I was really close with him, and then that happened. And you know, but you learn and you look back and you think, I made so many mistakes that first year as GM. I honestly would have never played games in Dundalk. Would have never even considered it. And it's not a Catholic Protestant thing. It just didn't make sense. You know, like I didn't quite grasp how much it would piss people off. Not just like the Catholic Protestant, but also the travel and everything like that. I should have just convinced the Ice Bowl to let us play some midweek games there. But yeah, you learned a lot. I learned a lot from that for sure.
that first year that you were GM also spelled a kind of change for the Belfast Giants in terms of goaltending. Basingstoke were going bad. I can't remember whether they actually went bust or they just had to ship some players out. We obviously got Pete Campbell and Stevie Lyle, and that changed the emphasis for the Belfast Giants for a long time between the pipes.
Yeah, that was a good move. And you know it's interesting. Thorts was basically recruiting. Like he got injured that year in Basingstoke, but he was basically doing the recruiting in Basingstoke. And I talked to Thorts because they were going to go under, and we basically thought, like we were told that he was fine to come over as a Brit because he has a British passport, and like we didn't really understand the rules, right? And I'd asked Andy French, and he's like, no, I don't think he is. And I was like, well, this makes no sense. He's got a British passport holder. He plays in the national team. He's not a work permit player. And so when I started talking to Basingstoke, I was talking to bring Thornton in that year as a player. And then we got pretty far down the line, and he's like, okay, I can bring me, Pete Campbell, and Stevie Lyle. And then we realized, oh, he's not a Brit. And I was like, Thornton, and you're hurt, so you can't come in. And so I brought Campbell and Lyle in, and that's when I said to Thorts, like, basically, like, I don't remember, like, I mean, I can't really get all the details right, but because it's a long time ago, but that's when we sort of decided that he was going to coach the Giants the next year. And we started talking on a weekly basis about things, and he sort of held Basingstoke together that year, but he was injured and he had to get surgery on his wrist. But if you remember, he came in right, you know, we didn't make the playoff finals, but that's when we kind of announced him as the coach. So
we go on the following season, as you talk about Thorts's first season in charge as the coach. And one of the things that has always been said about Steve Thornton is his diligence with recruitment and what a team he recruited that summer. You know, you look up the names there, Bobby Robinson, Paul Dennison, sitting atop him. We'll come on the Colin Shields later on. I'm sure you'll have a word for him. But that team, you know, you've liked it, George Iwata and his pomp in it, went on, won the two cups, one in the Ice Bowl that we talked about. Never lost a game in the Ice Bowl. You should have played far more often there. But, you know, some really great memories to look back on, winning that Challenge Cup final. We were talking about actually with Sheds, Mike Burgoyne scoring, I think we're on a 5-on-3
shorthand. Yeah. Shorthanded 5-on-3, picks the pocket of Tony Hand. Goes down, scores on Stephen Murphy, and we win it. Yeah, crazy. If you remember the first leg of that, though, we were down 4-1 or something. And after the first period, maybe 3-1 after the first period, and then we came back and we were down a goal, I think, by the end of the game. And their owner, I've never had an owner rub it in my face how much they were beating us. Like, I mean, rubbing it in my face. We were in Manchester, and he was literally telling me, like, laughing at me, going like, and screaming with every goal, like, yeah! We got this one, and then we beat them. And I never said a word. I never have I rubbed it in people's faces when you beat it. It's not worth it. But he really rubbed it in my face when they were up 4-1 at the time. And then we came back, and I think we were down 4-3 after the first leg. But that was special because, man, we needed that. Like that year, I mean, at the beginning of the year, we had to make a bunch of people redundant. Richard Gowdy, who I really liked, who was a longtime accountant, was made redundant. It was basically down to me, Thornton, and an intern who, on his first day as an intern, he was there for half the staff were made redundant. Mark Brooksy, and me and Thornton said, "It's your fault." He always tells me, he said he had asked what was happening. We said, "Oh, some people are losing their job, and it's your fault because you're the new guy." But we weren't paying them that year. So we had me and Thornton and an unpaid intern that first year.
And what a signing he's turned out to be.
yeah, one of our best, absolutely.
One signing that season that sticks out at the bottom of the statistical list, he only played 14 games, Jason Rushton. Caused a bit of a stir at the time, but I absolutely loved the guy, but scored a game-winning goal in the semi-final against Coventry at the Ice Bowl.
Did he really?
He didn't date, well, but then I think we went to maybe Manchester and he lost his skates.
Yeah, Jesus. That's a story that shouldn't be told for legal reasons in case the man ever hears me telling the story and flies back and beats the crap out of me. So I'll save that one for the book too.
Okay, I can see it perfectly. Okay, well, we'll move on to a season. It's hard to believe that it finished 10 years ago this week, but it finished with Colin Shields handing the playoff trophy to Jim Gillespie on the ice. Fabulous season. It was a crazy season, and that we had Sean McMorrow, you know, getting the bowl filled for like warm-ups before the game, you know, calling people out in the press during the week. And but what a team. You know, Jeffrey Swayze, Brandon Benedict, Shed's doing 100 points, Evan Shepherd, you know, it was brilliant.
Tom Walsh, Tim Cook.
Oh, you could go on. You could read right down that list. Pat Bateman, you know, Awada, Graham Walton even scored a goal.
Yeah, that was a fun team. That was, as far as a GM of a team, that might have been the funnest team in Belfast that I ever had. What a group of guys. Like, oh, man, just such a good group of guys. Like,
sorry to cut across you, was that Peacock's first season?
Yeah. That was,
you went and got him from Peterborough somewhere, and there was a bit of publicity in the summer, and it was like, oh, that's just,
me and Thorts went on a sneaky trip. We took a sneaky trip on a Tuesday to Bracknell, Tuesday or Wednesday to Bracknell, the season before, and we went and watched him play, and we were like, it was hard to judge because we'd never seen that I hadn't watched a lot of that league, right? And there was this kid that just with his cannon of a shot, and he had 90 points or something that year in that league as an 18-year-old, and we were like, we got to get this guy because someone's going to want him. And then, and we'd already signed him. We'd already signed him. And I think was he on there the first year? No, he was there 2000. Was he just there for the playoff year? Yeah, he wasn't there the first year of Thorts. But what a great signing for Peacock. Like, man, you think of what a guy too. Like, I mean, again, like I have so many favorite guys over the years, but I love Peacock. Loved him. He's a great guy. And he was something. It's so hard because I always think of those teams. I think, oh, this must be my favorite. And then I think of like the year we had with like Kiefer and Toey and Peaks and stuff. And that, like, that's probably one of my favorite teams too. There's just so many good guys that we've had over the years, you know?
I think we could argue maybe 10 times maybe Belfast have finished second in the league by a point or two. You know, that's another team that, despite winning the playoffs, probably underachieved, but that playoff weekend, although it's 10 years ago now, still lives strong in the memory. That semi-final where Swayze scores the two penalty shots, the final goes to penalty shots, you know, Murph comes up massive against Max McBrayer, and then the rest is history. You know, Chevy scores that goal.
Chevy didn't know he scored, or Chevy didn't know that was the winning goal. He thought someone else had to shoot. And he said he scored and he was celebrating, but then he turned around, like he was celebrating anyways, and then he turned around and saw the whole bench flying, and he said he thought that they still had to shoot. The pride in that, like, I just remembered, I think Thorts told me maybe 2 days later that he was leaving to become an estate agent. But that team, man, like, wow. That was something. That those 2 years with Thorts as a player coach were something for us. Like, we needed that. Like, we, you know, even if he hadn't come back and done what he's done for the Giants franchise now, Thornton coaching those 2 years was one of the most important pieces of Belfast Giants history for sure.
Remind me then, we go into the following season. I think we lose the Doug's first season.
Doug's
we
first
lose
year.
The I think we go to Sheffield or something, and we might play them in ice Sheffield, like last week of the season. And if we score, we win the league, and we just couldn't get the puck over the line. I can't remember. Yeah. It wouldn't have been Mr. Coughs in that for them back then, was it?
I don't even know. I can't remember. But yeah, we lost the league by a point that year, I think.
Yeah, again, and Doug then goes on the following season. I think the following season then.
We won the league. So,
We won the league. That's when Adam Keefe and stuff comes into the equation. Yeah. You know, they must be fun times as well.
There's so many good memories of it. Like, you think of Kiefer that first year. Kiefer's there, Loiter. Who was still there though? The year we won the league, like Dowdy and Peacock led our team in scoring. So two young British players were tied for the score lead. Mace was in, but like you think of Dowdy left Sheffield, for 1 year. He comes there with us and lights it up. We had that was the year, I think Brock McBride quit that year, didn't he? Brock
McBride quit. Yeah, he came in. He was too good.
Yeah, he quit. Went to Austria. Doucette, what was his first name? Benoit Doucette was like took up the reins from McBride. Was our best player that year. Remember he ran a guy from behind, and then the next game he had to fight the guy, and the ref tackled Doucette and blew his knee. The ref landed on his knee. One of the worst knee injuries I've ever seen caused by the ref. And that year, Doug's pretty funny because Doug's a pretty funny guy. Doug said, "This is our Sistine Chapel," and I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "If we can win the league this year, this is it. This is what we hang our hat on. Everything's gone wrong for us. Brock McBride quit, the best player in the league. Our next best player blows his knee. We shouldn't be winning the league this year. But if we win it, this is our Sistine Chapel, and we won it. So we won it. That came down to that weekend. I think it was the second last weekend of the season, and us and Sheffield. And if Sheffield won both games, they would have won the league, and we just had to win one of them. And we won it the first night on the Friday night.
And we beat them handsomely. I think it was like 5 or something. Yeah. It was a packed bowl. Yeah. A lot of players actually that we talked to from that season reference that as their favourite moment.
Really? Yeah.
As a Belfast Giant, you know that. How involved were you in the recruitment at that stage? Was Dorch still involved at all? Was he gone completely? Was it all down to Doug? You know, like you look at the people you recruited that season: Kiefer, Loiter, Jeremy Redick.
That was Doug.
You know, some of those guys that came were just upstead.
Nick Kuyper, Jeremy Redick. Like that team was. I mean, it was a sick team. That was Doug. I was never that involved with those guys. Like even with Thorts, like I was always the sounding board. So we always talked about the players. We talked about the salaries. It's always nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of. But I wasn't like getting on the phone and recruiting. And I mean it's the same thing I do now. Like I think sometimes I get a lot more credit for building these teams than the coaches. You know, than I should, because it's 90% the coaches and I'm just a sounding board. So like. I'm probably more key in bringing guys back that, you know, like if you have a new coach and you have to think of like the Brits, because I think there's a lot of guys that would come back despite the coach for us in Belfast. You know, Kiefer is a perfect example of that. He came back when Doug left, and same with Surrett. And when 80 stepped in and we won the league that year. And, I think it was, you know, partially because I had a really good relationship with those guys, but as far as getting on the phones and finding the players, it's still mostly the coaches. I think it's, you know, I've got too much on to worry about too much of that, you know. I wouldn't say I'm more involved now. I talk a lot more to Andrew Lord about recruitment now, but I certainly, it's still his decision. He still has to, it's still his guy that he has to see that fits in the locker room and stuff, you know. So
is it fair to say that despite winning the league brilliantly that season, that you'll probably be most famously remembered for that Christmas song?
Did we win? I thought the Christmas song was the year we didn't win the league. Wasn't it between?
I'm just saying that because that was Mike Hoffman was in the Christmas video.
Oh, yeah. So, no, and then Hoff came back the next year to win the league, didn't he?
He came back in 2012-13, I don't see.
We didn't win it 2012-13. We won it in 2012, and then we won it in 2014.
So 2012 was the video season.
Yeah, so that's that's the year we didn't win it. Anyways,
so we go on then into, you know, Doug classically at the end of that playoff final or semi-final. It was final we lost because Gregory Stewart got a silly
too many men call.
Too many men call.
Yeah. Terrible call though.
Terrible call.
Terrible
but
call.
We lose. And there's just something about Doug after that game that was a little bit sus. And obviously it came out over that weekend, over the coming days, that he was moving on to Sheffield. But that allowed the Belfast Giants, obviously, to bring in Paul Ailey into what was let's go back in the season, because we spoke to Colin Shields about this. The trade, not trade sort of move in October, November time. to bring Colin Shields back to Belfast and send Scott Champion the other way. What's your recollection of that?
Honestly, like we didn't, it wasn't a trade. And everyone talks about that. It was not a trade. Shieldsy quit. So yeah. Shieldsy quit Sheffield. I always got accused that like I tampered with it or something. Shieldsy called me and was like, I've quit Sheffield. I want to come back. And I was like, oh man, don't do this to me. They're going to think that I called you and convinced you to do this. He's like, but you didn't. I'm like, I know, but like, who's going to believe that? Like they know we're buddies. They know that you were going to come here last year. So we just, I mean, I called Tony and I was like, look, he's quit. I don't know what to tell you. And Tony was good about it. Tony just let it happen, you know, Tony Smith. So, I generally didn't talk to him before getting him, before he quit. I really didn't.
To be fair, he's retired now, and that's exactly the recollection of the story that he gave when we did his one-on-one. Look, we go on the following season. Paul Leedy comes in. It was maybe one of the most fortunate seasons we've ever had in terms of injuries. We were very, very fortunate. But, you know, Leedy was able to put his sort of his groups of five out at the start of the season, and he just let them play. You go down that team as well. Sauce, White, Cotton, Swayze, Chevrolet, Higgins, Sheen, Sandy, yep. Alfie, Peaks, Mace. What a team.
That was a hell of a team. That was our first, my only year with the Odyssey Trust as owning the team. And, they gave us a slightly better budget than the year before. And that's actually probably the most involved I've ever been in recruitment, because I was still trying to hire a coach when I was signing players, right? So, like, I was Doug had left and I was trying to, so I'd signed up, you know, I was trying to get Kiefer back and Surrett and Mace and Calvin Elfring, his agent had contacted me like during the season saying he was on, so I'd signed him. We had a lot of guys done by the time 80 even got there, to be honest with you. But he did find Higgins, your favorite player of all time. So, we had a lot of guys signed by the time I hired a coach, and it was a smart, it was a good coaching move. I think I know he was only there for a year, and that was down to me. And I think it wasn't, you know, I didn't get rid of 80 because I didn't think he did a good job. I would list that year as a disappointment for just winning the league. I thought it was the best team by a country mile. Like we dominated the league that year. We ran the table pretty easily. We were up 4-1 or something going into the second leg of the Challenge Cup when we blew it. And then we lost the playoffs and we should have won it all that year. That is the season I remember, is we should have won it all. And winning the league is great. Winning the league is great, but there's nothing worse than winning the league and losing the playoffs because I mean, the Belfast guys on the list from last year or last season. And I'm not trying to rub it into them, but like, there's something nice about winning your last game. And, I always said this, I would trade as a player. I loved winning the league, but winning the playoffs was the best experience I ever had as a player. And the playoff championships, it's just nice to win that last game of the season, you know, just feels like you finished properly. And, you know, we always think of the year in Cardiff that I had, when we won everything but the playoffs, we lost in double overtime to Sheffield, and it just felt the whole summer like a disappointment, you know. It's hard to get around not winning the playoffs, but with Belfast that year, that was my last year in charge. I remember when we lost that playoff final, and I was just so gutted. I just didn't feel that we, but also, like, you got to remember that your Kiefer like blew his knee in like maybe the quarterfinal and was like, should not have even been dressed, and he was playing, and like, it was like his leg was flopping behind him, you know, he should not have been playing. And he did, cause that's Kiefer. But he shouldn't have been on the ice. And, that one's a disappointment. I bet, you know, you talk to players and I bet they think that one was a disappointment too, you know.
I remember we were in a very fortunate position through the podcast back then, you know, seeing Kiefer using an upturned hockey stick to get himself to the ice. And I was like, this guy's not right in the head, like, to go and play a semi-final. And I think, to be fair, we probably should have won the final. I remember talking to you after it on a Saturday, but I might have talked to you on the Monday as well, and you were really, really disappointed. And I think even in the press, very unlikely, you might have called a few players out saying that they maybe should have done a bit more in the final. But that, look, that was your curtain call.
Yeah.
As far as Belfast, yeah, we got the news, you know, you spoke to us quite soon after that, that you were taking the opportunity to go across the REC and, you know, I suppose, you can see that still hurts me, Todd. you've spoken in the press before, Steve, you've talked about Steve King, and you've always said Steve King had sort of said to you know, if you ever find a team out there that we can do something with, will do something. And obviously Cardiff at that time were going through their turmoil. They had their secret millionaire, that had Brett Pope, but wasn't going well for them then. You could see something that you could polish there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me the thing is, like, there was no reason, I could have lived in Belfast the rest of my life. I could have worked for the Giants for the rest of my life, or for the Odyssey Trust. I really could have. I loved it. There was not one thing I would ever say bad about the organization or about the team or about the city, about the country. I loved it. And when I come back now, I still love it. But there's also something to be said about, like, just change and doing something different. And, you know, like, it's what we're doing is a lot of fun here. And, you know, Steve King, a family friend my whole life, you know, him and his wife are really tight with my sister and her brother, or my sister and her husband. I've known him pretty much my whole life. And I just saw it as, like, something, like, we just, you know, we'd always talk about it. And, you know, you talk, you have a couple more beers, you can talk more about it, and you think, we're just going to do it the way we want to do it. We're going to do it this way. And we've been able to do all that stuff. And just, it is a lot of fun. And we've been, if there's something I wish, you know, there's seasons I wish that I'd had a film crew following us along the whole year in Belfast. You know, there's years when I think, like, God, the BBC could have made a great documentary here. And same with Cardiff. Like, I feel like if someone had started filming us the day we arrived here and seen what we've done over the last 6 years, it's been incredible. And a lot of it's fallen into place. A lot of it's just, like, it adds to the story because things worked out. But, you know me pretty well, David. You know, like, I, you know, as much as I could have lived there for the rest of my life, I also think I might have left for some other opportunity, you know? And I don't know. I'm like anyone. Like, after a few years, you kind of get stuck and you think maybe it's time to move on. And who knows if I would have stayed in Belfast if it wasn't for this, but I would have been happy to. You know, my family loved it there. My wife loved it there. It is a good place, and I could work for the – I used to always say when I played there, I could work for the tourist board. Not enough people know how good it is, and I think, you know, one of the things when we come back there, you know, it's the one trip we bring probably 500 fans and 70 sponsors with us every year to the doubleheader, and what happens in the Odyssey – or, sorry, the SSE is half of the fun of the weekend. You know, we take them out on a pub crawl. We show them the town. We show them what Belfast has to offer, and they love it. You know, it's a great place to live.
I'm going to finish these one-on-ones the same way as I finished them all, with asking about a few of your playing memories and your GM memories, if you like, in Belfast. But I want to focus on two people before we do that. One, in 2013, the British Hockey Hall of Fame made Jim Gillespie a member. You were massively involved, and that must have been a real moment of pride for you, because Jim Gillespie was critical in the survival of Belfast.
He's why there is a Belfast Giant. It's hard to, like, I mean, I have a great dad, so it's hard to say, like, he's like the, he's not like a father figure, but I can't imagine anyone in my life that is like another father figure besides my own father than Jim Gillespie. He's, as far as business goes, I love the way he operated. I love the way he did everything the honest way with handshakes, and he was such a good person. And he never, you know, like, even when he saved the team, he didn't have to. He could have easily, like, he got involved at a time when it was a sinking ship, and I don't think people told him all the details, and then he still saved it, and then he did for years. Like, I mean, it was tough. I made a lot of tough phone calls to that man. Not asking for a little bit of money, asking for a lot of money. And there were years when, I mean, you just have to think of the crowds back then. Like, think of the first few years of the Elite League. And yeah, the cost of players was a lot less. But, like, man, there were nights when we had 1,500 people in the crowd and, you know, 1,200 we were needed to pay the rent. And, we weren't getting much more money in to pay the housing and the salaries and everything. And I mean, he put a lot of money into that team. And as much money, I don't think he regrets a penny of it. I think he loves what it did for Northern Ireland. I think he deserves everything that he got and more. And, you know, the Odyssey Trust is the ultimate owners of the Belfast Giants. From the day I got involved, knowing the trust, it just made sense. It made sense that they own the team that plays out of their arena, that plays next to their pavilion, you know, next to their science center. It makes sense. It's the safest ownership group in the league. It's probably, you know, like, as far as finance and stuff, it's safe, it's secure, it's great for they see the benefits for the country, and the operation is slick and all that stuff. But Jim was doing all that on his own, all the money, everything. And I mean, what a guy. And like, he'll be a legend for the Belfast Giants forever. His niece, Laura, who I'm really close with, is still involved and will be for, you know, the rest of her life probably. And what a family, just what a great group of people and what a family. And thank God we had him. You know, every Belfast Giants fan, whether they don't even know who Jim Gillespie is, or know exactly, is should be thanking him every time. You know, I don't even think he comes to games anymore. I think his health has kind of kept him away. But yeah, he's a good person, and I learned a lot from him.
And let's talk about your hockey buddy. I remember at his testimony, you might have teased him a bit about his. He got a testimony after 9.5 seasons, but he says some of that was down to you. You know, Colin Sheehy's all-time leading scorer, most games, most points, most goals, on and on. But
how are me and Colin Shields even buddies? The guy turned down contracts with me more times than he probably signed with me. Calls me every day from America, wants to come back, goes to Newcastle for 50 quid more. He'll tell you it was a lot more money. It wasn't. It was 50 quid. I was bugging him about that when I was back in Belfast last time for the doubleheader. I was out with him, and he was telling the story, and I was like, yeah, tell him why you went to Newcastle. But then he goes to Sheffield. We kept bringing him back, Dave. We kept bringing him back, but thank God we did. Like, what a legend. Shieldy was the last hope I had, but I still had a friend that was playing hockey even last year, you know? So he's the last guy I played with that actually was still playing, but just a great guy, just a great guy. One of my favorite guys I've ever come across. And I'll be friends with him for years to come. But yeah, he's done some amazing things for that organization. And he's made Belfast his home, but it's cool. I think it's really cool when a team in this league has a UK, I'm always careful to say Brit, whether I can say Brit in Northern Ireland, but you know what I mean. Like, he's not an import player, and for him to be the all-time leader in points and everything for that organization, for an organization that's been going for 20 plus years, it's awesome. And there were years where he carried our team, and he was a big part of the championships, and then the league got better, and he still, you know, you think of his season, not his last season when he got injured, but the season before that when he had 55 or 57 points or something like that, when the league was incredible and he was 37 years old, lighting it up. And it's cool. He's a really good guy, and he deserves everything he got, all the accolades. He probably deserves a lot more. It's weird because you start to feel real old when the legends, like, I remember when he came in as a 24-year-old right out of the East Coast League, just a year out of college, and he basically got screwed over by Jim Jaworski. He was there for a year. He was 24. Ed Courtney and Jim Jaworski decided they didn't want him back because they heard that he'd said something which was a complete lie. Thought he said something about, like, the organization when he went to GB, and And you know what he probably said? They probably said, oh, how's Belfast? You know, it's good. And he probably didn't say it was great or something, you know? And somehow someone in GB said, oh, Colin Shields was saying bad stuff about the organization, which is a complete lie. Shields, he would never do that. And but, you know, rumors start, and Ed Courtney just decided that we couldn't, and told Jimmy Yorski, and Jimmy Yorski decided that he could never play for our organization again. And I said, we're nuts, but I wasn't the GM at the time. And so when I became a GM, I started the process of trying to get him back. But yeah, he basically, like, think of that talent. He basically got blackballed from our league, and went back to the East Coast League, probably at the time, the best British prospect in the league. And he's not playing in Britain after playing there for a year and doing really well and winning the league. So it was a major screw up by us. And sometimes, you know, it's one of the things you had to rectify. Same with letting Shane Johnson. Shane Johnson ever being let go and not being able to play again. Like, Ed Courtney just didn't want Johnny there for some reason. And Johnny was saddled with trying to book travel the 1 year, and I think he probably got a lot of blame for the travel schedule. And I think that really is one of the reasons why they didn't want him back. And that's, you know, I'd list that as probably my, you know, as an inexperienced GM first year, I should have fought harder and I should have demanded that Shane was back from the start of the season. And instead, you know, I said, okay, I'll let the coach make the decision. And, you know, Shane was one of my closest friends. And you just think of, like, the principle of it. It was a huge mistake by me. I should never have let a coach make a decision that I knew was wrong, and I'm his boss. And also, it's a guy that did a ton for the organization, and I knew what kind of player he was. He should never have gone and never been let go to, or did he go Cardiff or Sheffield, or where was he? Both teams for a while. And then we brought him back, I think, in October. But yeah, we should have never let him go. It's terrible. It's one of the worst things. One of my biggest regrets as a GM, maybe my biggest regret.
When I look down the list of players that we have talked about over your time, well, you've been with, I'm going to say you still are, you've been with the Belfast Giants since the very start. When I look down some of the names that have played for the club, Colin Shields, yourself, Jeff Mason, Mark Garside, Adam Keefe, surely the unsung hero amongst all of these for the Belfast Giants is the Northern Ireland women.
Yes, 100%.
Colleen
Keefe should be MVP of your organization for marrying Adam Keefe and keeping him here.
You know, we say that with a bit of a joke, but yourself, just all these guys have came to Northern Ireland, find the loves of their lives, got married, settled down. Let's give our club roots.
100%. It's hilarious. Think about that, like Johnny, Stewie, Shieldy, Garside, Kiefer. Like, it's hilarious.
And Bozy,
Jason Bowen, and Stephen Murphy. Yeah, like, thank God. Thank God for the Northern Irish women. You're absolutely right.
But go on to one other unsung hero, a guy that's...
You didn't even talk about Murph. Like, think of Murph, by the way. Murph's one of the smartest signings we ever had, too. Think of that. Like, I mean,
I
what he did for the
United. Stephen Murphy when I was talking to Shades, and I was in watching a Manchester Phoenix game, obviously against the Belfast Giants, and I was having a comfort break during all the periods, and the two Manchester fans were absolutely roasting Stephen Murphy. I said to the men, I wish he played for us, and as it transpired, you picked him up in the summer, but what a guy he's been for us.
Oh man, seriously, like, what a goalie. Like, I mean, all the success that Belfast had over the years, so much of it down to him and the play that he, you know, standing on his head in big games. I'm lucky. I had Stevie Lyle, who was a great British goalie, had Stephen Murphy, and then Ben Down. So I've had nothing but British goalies most of my GM career, you know? So
one other guy, before we finish and I ask you a couple of last questions, Jason Taff Ellery. How key has he been to the Belfast franchise for the last, he's been here 15 years now at least?
He's been there, he's probably been there 16, 17, because didn't he start the third, the fourth, like the first year of the Elite League he started, I think, when Stewie was the coach.
So yeah, because Blatch would have left then.
Yeah, So what are we at here? Next season's year 21 for the Giants, is that correct? So
yeah.
Taffel have been here 17 years. Jesus, get him a testimonial, man. Taff's incredible. You know, he's the reason why he's the GB trainer as well, and just a good guy too. You know, like, you know, when you go from being a player, one of the good things, I guess, is I'm glad I was very nice to Taff when I was a player, because it would have been hard to be a problem player and then be the GM. But I always had a great relationship with Taff. He I'm not the cleanest of people, so I tried to keep my stall done correctly, but often he straightened up for me and never fined me for it or anything. But also he's just a good guy, good friend over the years. I still, every time he's in town with the Giants, I go and grab a coffee with him before the game, and he's a great guy. Yeah, I love him. And he's been, I mean, people don't realize an equipment manager how much effect they can have on a locker room and what they bring and the morale. And you know, you can either bring a shitty attitude every day and be a grump, or you can be positive and kind of keep things light and make sure the players are looked after, and that's what Taffy does every day. So.
Let's finish this up, Todd. Thank you very much for your time. This half hour's turned into 90 minutes.
No one's listening by now anyways, except for Ty.
We'll split it into two. Hopefully we'll style it out. Your favorite memory as a Belfast Giants player?
As a player? The playoffs in 2003. 100%.
The Johnny final?
Yeah, Johnny scores two goals. You don't know why he scored two goals? Because Johnny used synergies for the first time ever. Synergy Easton. So he hadn't used them all year. He used them for one game, scores two cannons from the blue line. Absolute rockets. He probably would have had 20 goals if he'd used them all season. But, Johnny always played big in big games, but that playoff final game against London was something special. People forget the semifinal against Sheffield. We won 1-0 in a shootout. Kevin Real scores in the shootout, but that was probably an even better game. Sheffield were the team that won the league that year, and we beat them 1-0 in the semifinal. That was crazy. But, yeah, that playoffs, 2003, as a player, easily the best moment.
And then you go into, I don't want you to go beyond the Paul Eady season. You've had success in Cardiff, and fair play to you and all, and that still hurts me. But you're very gracious to us when we're down in Cardiff, and we appreciate that too. But as your time as a Belfast Giants GM in your management role, can you remember what the one moment that you thought, yeah?
It's a toss-up, I guess. It's the playoffs with Thorts, 2010, or the Challenge Cup with Thorts, as in, because that was the first trophy we won, and that year just felt like it was just relief that year. Like me and Thorts always talk about, it was just relief that we won. It felt like all the late nights and all the extra work were worth it because we actually won. But the league title, the first league title as a GM with Dougie was probably it. It was that year. It was beating Sheffield on that final weekend. It was our Sistine Chapel for me and Dougie Christensen. That was something. That was that team. Think of that year. We had Pels, John Pelle, we had Kuiper, we had Rebic, we had Kiefer. Like that was an incredible team, incredible group of guys. But also to win that league. Because it's the big one in UK hockey, to win it as a GM. You know, you'd won it. I'd won it as a player a couple times, but or three times, I guess. And to win as a GM was something special.
Well, Todd, look, we thank you for your time again. We thank you for being such a great friend and to the podcast as always. And just thank you for going one-on-one.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Anytime. And it's nice to talk hockey during these crazy times. And, you know, you guys know how much I think of what you guys have done for the organization over the years, a view from a bridge. And I know I've changed teams now, but I'm glad that we've remained friends and we can always talk hockey. So good to talk to you. Sports Social Podcast Network.